All right. Thank you, Wendy. All right, everyone. We're going to move on to item number three, this discussion and possible action, the approval of the agenda for this date, June the 17th, 2014. Anybody have any comments on this? Ms. Bart?
Good morning. Nicole Bart, Story County resident. I'd like to read my statement into the record and request that the packet that I'm going to be handing the commissioners be added by the clerk to the commission meeting minutes for today. Okay. This is not everything I'm going to read. I'm here today, as I have been on so many occasions over the years, as a citizen and a taxpayer of Story County. As in the past, I'm raising an issue that I believe affects all of our citizens. The attached to the statement that I've just handed out is Washoe County County Manager John Slaughter's is a report from him. It is the Washoe County staff report regarding the same agenda items as are on our agenda number 11 and number 13. This staff report is related to the amended cooperative agreement between Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District and Story County Fire Protection District and the proposed boundary line adjustment involving 18 parcels, 9 of which are owned by TRI and 9 parcels which are owned by others. This same topic is also on the Washoe County agenda for today. The Washoe staff report clearly presents all the data, relevant facts, fiscal impact, benefits to Washoe County citizens, and explains how the two agenda items are related. The Story County staff report does not contain any fiscal impact statement or cost-benefit analysis. Unlike the Washoe County packet, the Story County packet does not define the costs or benefits for Story County citizens. Although the relationship between these two agenda items is hiding in plain sight, it is not brought to the forefront as it is done in the Washoe document so that citizens can understand the relationship in items 11 and 13. My comments here today are not directed at the staff, since I believe that they would provide whatever is asked for by their management. Several things are of interest. First, Mr. Slaughter references that there had been revenue share discussions and that they were deemed to have no legal basis in statute. He then explains that the amendment to the cooperative agreement between the fire districts are the terms and conditions under which the Washoe Commission would agree to move the boundary condition, the boundary line. Essentially, the initial revenue share data was replaced with the amended cooperative fire service agreement to facilitate interest by Washoe County to approve the boundary line adjustment. This clarity is missing from the Story County report. A further review of Mr. Slaughter's report shows that Washoe has a fiscal impact statement pertaining to both the boundary line adjustment and the fire protection agreement, which I find lacking in the Story County report that has been published as part of the agenda. Essentially, Washoe loses about $27,000 per year in taxes and saves a great deal of money by shifting the burden of fire protection to Story County Fire Protection District to support the parts of Washoe County that are defined. Additionally,
how much longer are you going to go on, Ms. Ward? Because you've exhausted
a minute and a half.
Okay,
that's it. Additionally, he states that the staff report that no decision to jointly staff the station implied, which is 75, further, the decision to provide Truckee Meadows personnel to Story County Station 75 for the purposes of joint staffing is strictly between the Truckee Meadows and Story County. So we can expect to be fully responsible for staffing number 75. The amendment also has other stipulations as far as not paying for our services, assistance for hire, in the defined Washoe portion of the coverage area, regardless of how long we are there. When I look at what Story is having to do and potentially pay to get these parcels, I am extremely concerned as to what Story County and its residents get out of this deal. It looks to be nothing in the foreseeable future. The TRI portion of these parcels is 9 out of the 18 parcels. It is questionable if the other 9 can or would ever be developed. It's very clear how TRI will benefit. They get a fire station that reduces their insurance rates, and they get property that they can develop a lot cheaper and easier in Story than in Washoe County. TRI derives a huge benefit from this, since they will have to pay less in fees and be able to build quicker here than in land in Story in Washoe. TRI also saves on property tax, since it's lower in Story County. What does Story County get? Assumably, we get, at some point in the future, we get revenue from as yet to be developed land. How much do we anticipate in this revenue, and when? This may never happen, or happen slower than hoped for, as we have all experienced in the recession. In the immediate future, Story County taxpayers incur the cost for reopening, provisioning, and operating Station 75, paying for all communications equipment for both fire departments, potentially staff it alone, and respond to all events in the designated portion of Washoe County. And based on the materials provided here in the packet, we don't have any idea what this is going to cost. I see no defined benefit provided in our staff report that justifies any expense to Story County and its citizens in order to provide TRI with this land. I think that the Story County citizens deserve answers to the following questions before these items are discussed, let alone voted on. How does this benefit all of us? How do we know how much this will cost and when? And is this the best use of our time and money? I'll go to the bottom line. I'm asking that you postpone these two agenda items until you have the data and information and provide it to the Story County citizens, as Washoe has done for their citizens. It's included in the packet that I gave you. Either kill it, because there's no apparent benefit to the taxpayers. Hold on any action until you do your due diligence and provide cost benefit. Get TRI and possibly the other property owners to come up with some agreement that they can come with us to help us offset our costs, or put this on the ballot with the Sunny Hills Ranchos question and let the voters decide.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know what basis you're going to use to make a decision, because
that's,
there
that's
are
no... Thank you. I mean, we've got 6.5 minutes. Okay. You know what the
thank
allotted
you.
Time is. Thank you. Anyone else?
Motion to approve the agenda as it stands.
Okay. Ms. Dean?
We need to amend taxation to transportation.
Yeah, okay.
Kay Dean, Virginia City Highlands. I understand you've already made the decision to hold the agenda as it is without listening to my comment either. But I do have a professional background as an accountant, and the lack of any fiscal information and dollar cost to us residents in Story County affects each and every person here, because we all pay taxes. And to go forward with this is signing a blank check is fiscally irresponsible, and I strongly encourage you to delay this.
Thank you. Anyone else have any comments, discussion on this item? Okay, before we take the motion for approval, Commissioner Shervagan, I want to make a correction on item four. This discussion, there will be the Nevada Department of Transportation, NDOT, not taxation. So with that correction, I have a motion on the floor to amend approve today's agenda. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Okay, we're going to move on to item four, discussion of possible action, the acceptance for the fiscal year 2015 work program presented by Nevada Department of Transportation. We have Jason Van Abel here from Story County resident and spokesperson. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you for having me. And wanted to wish everybody a happy January. Thank you. I'm Jason Van Havel with the Department of Transportation. And thank you for having us on the agenda here today. And I did want to take a moment and highlight some of the folks that have come here with us today to help support Story County. First of all, we have Susan Kleckar with the Federal Highway Administration. She is over the Nevada field office, and we're very, very pleased to have her. We have Dagny Stapleton, who's the deputy director of the Nevada Association of Counties, NACO. From our maintenance side, the guys that really get the work done, we have Jason Marty, maintenance supervisor, and we have Scott Williams, local supervisor. Oh, sorry.
Look at it right, Scott.
From our headquarters staff, we have Rebecca Kapler, from our planning staff there, Catherine Cacaro, Jana Mabry, and Melissa Chandler. And Jana and Melissa are actually within our transit group. And I just wanted to mention that Story County is the only county in the state that does not have a transit-related contract of some sort with NDOT. So those services are available, and to keep that in mind. There's a couple of points, a couple of talking points I wanted to mention about some things that are going on in the transportation realm nationally and on the state level. First, on the national level, the National Transportation Authorization Act, Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century, or MAP 21, is set to expire on September 30th of 2014, at the end of the current federal fiscal year. It is an issue that Congress is currently on their table to address and take a look at, because come October 1st, something needs to be done, or the federal transportation spending is going to run into some significant problems. Now, that's half of the problem that they're looking at on the national level. The Authorization Act is authorization to spend money, but there's a revenue issue going on as well. The national revenue that comes in to their transportation account is not enough to meet their spending. So at this point, I've heard different reports anywhere from late July or mid-August, it's expected that the national transportation account is going to go in the red, or is going to run out of money. So that's another issue that Congress needs to address. Now, this is not a new issue. This has come up in the past. What Congress has done in the past is had one-time appropriations or one-time authorizations of transferring general fund money into their highway account to be able to keep it solvent. That certainly is a potential in the future, but we just don't know what direction that Congress is going to go. And then as far as the expiration of the MAP 21 authorization, historically, there has been extensions of the Transportation Authorization Act to get through times until a new Transportation Authorization Act can be passed. What's going to happen this time, we don't know, but an extension is possible, and then there are other potential legislations on the table for a new Transportation Authorization Act. But again, time's getting short, and we don't know which direction the Congress is going to go. But those are still issues on the national level that you probably should be aware of. And the state level for revenue, with the economic downturn, the revenues had shrunk coming into the state highway account. And the balance in that was, over the past couple of years, got down to critically low levels. Now the revenue has stabilized, so we're able to predict cash flow and manage our delivery of projects accordingly, and we've been able to get the cash balance in our account up to a safe, sustainable level. But the revenue coming in is still historically lower than it has been. So while it's stable and predictable and we can manage it, it's just not at the levels that it was. So the amount of projects that we're able to deliver is going to match accordingly. On the national level, with inside the MAP 21 authorization, there were several performance measures. It was a very performance measure-related piece of legislation. Many of those performance measures are still in the process of being developed. They're pertaining to things like safety, the amount of fatalities on our highways, the amount of congestion that we have. And so how those performance measures are developed and implemented will have an impact on on NDOT in the future, so you should be aware of some of those implications. A national funding source that I wanted to highlight to your attention is the Transportation Alternatives Program. This funding source is intentionally meant to flow through the Department of Transportation down to local entities like cities and counties to fund your non-traditional kinds of transportation projects, such as bicycle, pedestrian, alt-mode, or at-risk populations. The Department of Transportation has a form online called a project initiation form that you can log onto our website, fill out the information that the form asks for, and if the scope of the potential project that you're asking for qualifies for this transportation alternatives funding, we'll take it through a ranking process, and hopefully we will be able to get those types of projects funded for local entities. Sometimes projects like that aren't the most don't have the most sizzle, don't have the most attention, but they can be very valuable community projects. An example of this type of funding is at the north end of Virginia City here. The mining structure was done with transportation enhancements money, which was about the same funding source from the previous transportation authorization bill. So that's an example of some things that can be done. Another thing that we're doing inside of NDOT that you probably should be aware of is we have our statewide transportation improvement program. Inside of that, it lists all of the projects that are federally funded or regionally significant. We're moving that document to an electronic-based format. So in the future, we'll be looking to get this electronically onto our website so you can log in at any point in time and see a real-time picture of what projects we plan on delivering over the next 4 years or even a longer time period. And you can have you can see the different phases of it, the funding amounts, and the particulars of the projects. So that's a piece. That's a deliverable that we plan on moving forward with that will be available on our website. We also, in the fall of each year, have brought back our county workshops. And these are regional efforts to be able to pull in staff level from NDOT and staff level from counties or cities to be able to work together to identify how we can work together more efficiently, how we can maximize your resources, maximize our resources to deliver the best product to the public. So I encourage your staff to be on the lookout for our invitations for those county workshops that should be coming within the next few months. In the last legislative session here in Nevada, there was a significant activity regarding road relinquishments in the process. NRS 408-527 was modified to encourage the counties and NDOT to work together to develop a process that we can go through to relinquish ownership of our transportation infrastructure either way. We're in the process of developing a manual that will codify this collaborative process, and that is being coordinated through our roadway systems group. So if you would like to have participation in that, I'm sure your invitations have gone out for participation, but we welcome your feedback because at the end of the day, this is a collaborative process. Nobody's going to be forced to do anything. This is only something that we'll agree to work together on to deliver the best possible product to the public. Of course, safety is a primary concern for NDOT. Unfortunately, this year in Story County, we had a fatality in 2013. We did not have any fatalities in the county. And then just a couple weeks ago, we had two fatalities at the bottom of Geiger Grade. But to emphasize with our strategic highway safety plan, that safety is an emphasis for NDOT, and that any fatalities is too many fatalities. And so we still have the zero fatalities goal because nobody has a goal of any fatalities inside their family. Inside of Nevada here, we're all together on this. We're all in this together, and we're all a family. So our goal for our family is no fatalities. I did want to mention that we have an I-80 corridor study going on, which is a multi-state effort trying to maximize all of the efforts put into the I-80 corridor from California, from San Francisco all the way through Cheyenne. That website is i80vision.org. It's in its final stages right now, and so you can still chime in with public comments about its scope, about maximizing freight movement along the corridor, maximizing tourist activity, trying to get information along the corridor so whether it's freight movement or visitors or the traveling public has information as early as possible that can make most efficient choices. So that's something I just wanted to highlight for you. I did want to say thank you that our our staff here in the county, along with your staff, work very nicely to deliver things like snow removal and maximize the service that we provide to the public for special events or weather events. And that's a very productive cooperative relationship that I wanted to thank you for and hope that we can keep working on that in the future. At this point, I wanted to address, at any point, please feel free, ask questions if anything comes up, anything crosses your mind. Don't be shy. I did want to mention some questions that had come up in the past, and then also ask if you had any current issues. But previously, the conversation of where the USA Parkway stands. And we have put a piece funded for final design of USA Parkway into our work program. And so that piece is funded and we'll move forward. The construction piece is still up in the air, and we have had further conversations with the county, with the developer, and so that's an ongoing conversation. I believe that we all have an interest of seeing the final construction get funded and move forward. Now, how that's going to take shape, again, I think we all agree that there's still more conversations that need to take place. As I move forward to the work program, the primary item on the work program is the USA Parkway, both of the funded final design and then some of the construction pieces that remain in our long-range element, which show as unfunded at this point. It's kind of a sparse work program, but on the other hand, Story County has probably the fewest crack seals of anybody in the state, of any county in the state. So the condition of our infrastructure in Story County, I think, is in really good condition overall. So, did you have any particular questions?
I do. Does NDOT have any proposed work for 341 or 342 throughout this season?
Not at this point. If for this construction season, we do not.
Okay. It's one of the few seasons that we haven't had construction.
Yes.
One or the other.
Yes. The 342 has gone through some recent stress, but there was a project out there last season to address some of the rutting that had formed, and I believe it's in fairly good condition now. It will be addressed in the future, but at this point it's in a stable condition.
Okay, so this funding allocation does that split USA Parkway into the NDOT STIP now?
Yes, it does for the final design.
The final design. That's exactly what we've been waiting for, isn't it? Okay.
It's a piece.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we're eating this elephant one bite at a time.
Because the feds would say they wouldn't fund it if it wasn't in the state STIP. Now if it's in the STIP, maybe we can get the feds to fund this, perhaps?
I can't speak for the feds on that one, but...
Sure you can. Go for it.
I would be confident in saying that each step that we can move forward in a concrete fashion is a stronger conversation that we can have later. So we're another step in the right direction.
That's great. Thanks, Jason. I don't have any other questions.
I had a couple comments, Jason.
Yes.
I want you to know every time I talk with Reed or Heller's office, you know, I'm always, no matter what the topic is, the last thing is, a reminder that we still need some money for the USA Parkway, and just keep it fresh in our minds. The other thing, of course, is I briefed the commissioners here, I think it was the last commission meeting on the giving up highways and gaining highways and things mm-hmm. like that. And we have a couple of victims in mind, a couple of targets, possibly 6 Mile. I've asked Lyon County if they'd like to work with us on that one to make that a state highway once mm-hmm. again. And then I think possibly we might even consider taking C Street. That's been discussed a couple of times. And so we're kind of anxiously waiting to get the package down to see what the exact procedures are on doing all that. I think there's some There could be some advantages in there and get you folks off the hook on some things that are, probably don't meet the federal codes and, but I sure want to thank you for all of you, all the hard work you guys do.
Thank you. As far as the relinquishments go, it's certainly a conversation we'll engage in, and hopefully we can come up to a mutually beneficial exchange. That's the intent of what the legislation was.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Gilman?
No question.
I do have a couple of comments, if I may. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to reflect back to you, though, that working relationship between staffs. I know I've said this in the past, but probably unlike any other state organization that we deal with, you guys always rise to the occasion, and I thank you for understanding the uniqueness of C Street in Virginia City, you know, be it parade closures or vendors in the parking spaces occasionally, that of course you guys know nothing about because you never are up here on Saturdays, but I thank you for your flexibility and your partnership. It's a masterpiece watching our road crews and your local maintainers, you know, work together to clear out C Street before President's Day weekend or something, so that, you know, the tourist-related businesses can thrive, hopefully, on a beautiful February day or January day. I'd also like to thank your team for being faster in response than I would have even imagined possible for an organization of your size. I believe it was last year, we had a very minor encroachment closure, an unauthorized encroachment closure going out toward the Highlands from here, where the contract was out to go ahead and put up guardrails and essentially landlock about three different properties. Those guardrails were down within 24 hours, and the encroachment permit worked its way through the process, I think, in record time of 5 days or less between that. And last, and I believe I have it in there, I apologize if I don't, the gentleman we've been working with on the USA Parkway, Pedro, has been stellar. His communication levels with our offices to our commission and everybody has just been very much appreciated as we try to navigate really getting this project done. So thank you and your entire team.
Thank you very much for your comments. We take the idea of customer service seriously, and the task that the public believes in us to accomplish, we take it seriously, and so thank you. I'm very pleased that we have this positive relationship.
That's great. This is open for discussion. Does anybody in the audience have any questions for Jason? If so, please come up and identify yourself.
And I respectfully ask if you could accept the work program.
So, a motion to accept NDOT's work program?
So moved. So seconded.
Okay, it's been moved to second to accept NDOT's fiscal year 2015 through 2024 work program. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion carries.
Thank
Jason,
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Thank all of you.
Thank all of you for coming
Thanks,
up today.
Thanks, Jason, very much.
All right, we're going to move ahead now to item 5. This will be discussion and possible action, the approval of the minutes for the June 3rd, 2014 meeting. Anybody have any comments on that?
Approval minutes for June 3rd.
June 3rd, yeah. June 3rd. Minutes from June 3rd.
Second.
Did you make the motion? It's been moved and second to approve the minutes of June 3rd, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Great. We're going to move along to the consent agenda now. Does anybody have any questions on the consent agenda?
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second motion.
It's been moved to second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Great. And the motion carries. We're going to move along now to item 9, discussion. Let's see here. No action, no public comment. This committee and staff reports. We have a guest today from NACO. We have Dagny Stapleton, if you'd like to.
Dagny.
Come on down. Dagny.
Hi, good afternoon, Commissioners. Thanks for giving me a moment. Dagny Stapleton, Deputy Director of NACO, and out here today with the folks from NDOT, helping them out with their visit and being part of their crew that comes before your commission. And I wanted to take a minute to just officially introduce myself to you. I've been Deputy Director at NACO for about a year now, and this is my first opportunity to be here at your commission, so happy to be here and thank you. Just a few things in relationship to NDOT's presentation. I do serve on the STAC, which is the State Transportation Advisory Committee. I do that on behalf of NACO, on behalf of the counties, and we review a number of things that Jason mentioned today, including the TAP funding, the transportation alternatives, as well as the STIP. So we're your voice on that committee, so if you ever have any concerns or thoughts or anything, please don't hesitate to reach out to me as we represent you. Also, in relation to AB 18, that's the bill that was passed last session regarding
Thank you. I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. Gentlemen, if you're going to talk, you're going to have to bring it out to the end of the hallway because it's messing up with the recorders up here. We can't get accurate reporting when there's. Thank you, Mr. Beach. We'll see you next month. Go ahead, Dagny.
Okay.
Thank you.
In relationship to AB 18, that was the bill that was passed last session regarding the road relinquishments that Jason was talking with you all about. And we just wanted to let you know also on behalf of the counties that we followed that bill and have also been engaged with NDOT in the development of the handbook that they are working on. So we're also one of your resources or your voice on that. So, you know, if there's any concerns or anything about that process, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. And we're also in communication with NDOT about that. So that's about it. Just want to say thank you and say hi. And also thank you to Commissioner Sevangan, who serves on our NACO board and does a great job for you guys. So thank you.
Thank you, Dagny.
Thanks, Dagny. See
ya. Okay. From the reporter's office, Jed, do we have anything to report today? Not today. There. Pam? Abercrombie? You got a report today? So, library, committee chest? Any? All of the above?
Thank you so much. Pam Abercrombie, for the record, community chest. I wanted to thank you guys for the support for Community Chest and the library. And I want to thank Mr. Maddox for supporting the law library as well. A couple updates with Community Chest. We're working with Healthy Communities Coalition in Lyon and Story County to implement a program to support families in need with newborns that'll begin this fall. We're in the planning stages right now. Our Comstock Kids program is up and running, and the farmers market will be starting this week. And we also received a grant from Nevada Humanities to conduct a Comstock History Fund project with the kids. And the library, we are in the process of moving into the Hawk Clinic, so we'll have a lot more space. We'll be ADA compliant, so nobody has to go up the stairs. And we'll be expanding our programs as well. Our library usage is still continuing to go up. We have offered 24 programs in the last month, so that's been exciting. We had 32 people attend our programs. Our walk-in numbers are 37. We had use of the public space for 2 meetings, and 7 people attended the meetings. And we're in the process of cataloging. We're still taking donations, and we're desperately seeking volunteers so our library director can be more mobile. We're going to do a library card drive in September, and the main programs we have are story time, open mic, and a craft circle. And we're still trying to coordinate with outlying communities to expand services out there. Mark Twain does have services 1 day a week. Gosh, I'm really nervous right now. 1 day a week and then 1 Saturday a month. So we're still continuing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pam. Jerry Nevin, Community Services.
Good morning, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. We continue to work with Community Chest to come up with some alternatives for health care once Hawk leaves the health center as of July 10th. We're making good progress on that, and I should have more info for you hopefully by the first meeting in July. Thursday evening at 6 p.m., we have a joint meeting with the Highlands Fire Safe Council to go over lessons learned from the evacuation drill. I would invite any and all Highlands residents that participated in that drill to please join us again Thursday, June 19th at 6 p.m. at the fire station. We will begin the process to go out to bid for repairs on the courthouse roof here. That should be coming out within the next couple of weeks. Bids will be due around July 17th, and we should be coming to you with recommendations the first meeting in August and hopefully begin construction before snow starts to fall. So it is summer, but looking outside today, it feels a little bit more like winter. District Attorney Maddox and I continue to work on a policy and application for the Community Support Grant Program. That's turned into a little bit more of a challenge than we expected, but we want to make sure we do it right. And we should have something for approval to you in July, hopefully. I continue to be busy closing out projects and starting new projects. It's kind of that time of the year. We've got grants ending and new grants starting up as of July 1st. We've been working with, I think it's through Healthy Communities Coalition of Lyon and Story Counties. They're doing a survey of all of the venues, public places that would like to display art and kind of bring art back into public places. We have told them that we may be interested in looking at some display of photographs here in the courthouse, so we'll continue to kind of move forward with that and see if we may be able to showcase the works of some of our local photographers. So look forward to seeing that here sometime. That is all I have for you, if anyone has any questions for me.
That's all. Thank you, Sherry. Next up, Denny. Report from tourism today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Just a couple quick things. I know today's a long meeting. Fundraising for 4th of July has come along pretty good so far. It's typical that the few weeks leading up to it, we're still lagging a little bit to pay for the fireworks, but we're about halfway there. So those folks that are intending to send their support to help pay for them, as now would be a good time to do that. I just want to also report on a grant that we received with the Nevada Commission on Tourism for a townwide public address system. That system over the next couple of weeks will be installed. And so we'll have the ability to play music during an event. We'll also have the ability to address the town as a whole in case of emergency or a public service announcement or what have you. There'll be 7 or 8 different locations. It's all completely wireless, with the main control being out of the Crystal Bar or the Visitor Center. So it'll be a great tool that we've been wanting to have here for a long time. And then finally, a new addition to our mobile app, Virginia City mobile app, is a audio tour. Audio tour is John Tyson's voice documenting about 35 different buildings here in town. Over the next couple of months, Sherry and I will be working on putting signs out on these buildings so folks can play that particular number on the audio tour and learn more about the history here on the Comstock. So it'll be a great tool whether you're in a car or just walking around town. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you. Chief Ames?
Good morning. Just a few things for you this morning. On the operations side, we had a cardiac arrest 2 days ago, I believe, and I wanted to congratulate Captain Arroyo and firefighter paramedic Justin Grimm on a great save. This is the second one in the last several months, and both have been successful. The patient had pulses restored, was breathing on their own, and talking to us as we were loading her into care flight. So they did a great job on that. Again, operationally, we had a structure fire out at Tri. At one of the facilities, Battalion Chief Atkins and Captain Curtis were on that day. Contained it to a relatively small incident. They were up and operational within 12 hours of the incident. So again, a great job on the operations side by those guys. The fuel project is 100% done. We ended up with just a little bit of revenue through the grant that we used on Laustown Road to complete a little bit of mastication on the shoulders, and that is completely done, being closed out, working with the comptroller. That was a big project year, so I'm happy to say that that project is done for this year. The seasonal staffing is going well. Currently, Mark Twain is staffed. The joint station down there in Mark Twain between Story and Central Lyon County with two seasonals, 7 days a week. They work 10 to 7. The Highlands is staffed with a minimum of three people per day, 7 days a week. And the tri-station will be staffed 7 days a week with seasonal personnel effective the 19th, so Thursday. And that's all I have unless you have any questions.
Just a quick comment, Gary, from our Department of Development. We've had a number of companies come through in the last short period of time, and I really want to commend you and your department for just a tremendous job at the table in assisting all of us in addressing some interesting and challenging issues. And you guys have been so professional and so helpful, and as far as I'm concerned, that's exactly the way community should work. And I want to acknowledge that.
I appreciate that. Your tri's definitely keeping us busy out there, which is a good problem to have. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chief. Let's see, at the Public Works, Mike Nevin.
I'd probably tell the dean the same thing.
He doesn't know what.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Mike Nevin, Public Works Director. Dory, did you get that? Thank you. Just a couple of things of interest for today's meeting. After spending about 3 weeks doing some minor and major rehabilitation at the swimming pool facility, we opened on time as planned yesterday and closed today. Due to weather, imagine that. Yeah, seems like it happens every year, but things warm up. We should be back in the groove down there again tomorrow. Our annual consumer confidence report, I have completed that with the assistance of my admin gal, Susan, and that is posted to the website for calendar year 2013, and that deals with our water sources and system here for the Story County water system. So if anybody has any interest, they can go to the website and pull that up. We issued the notice to proceed on the wastewater treatment project to Q&D. The time clock began on the 12th. It's their plan to begin dirt work at the site next Monday on the 23rd, so things are progressing nicely there. The west wall here behind the courthouse is a work in progress, a little bit slower than we originally anticipated, but as I had mentioned previously, we didn't know how bad that wall was until we got into it. Dick is Wellhouse and his crew have been doing what I think is a pretty fantastic job considering the circumstances that they were confronted with there. We're waiting for a man lift to show up so we can get to some of the higher sections back there. So it's been kind of off again, on again. As you are aware, we've been talking about the Divide and Five Mile Reservoir rehabilitation projects that would provide for about an additional 7 million gallons of water storage for use by the system here. Locally for the communities of Virginia, Gold Hill and Silver. I'm happy to announce that we combined the two projects. We had a huge cost savings by just rolling in the Divide Reservoir project. We're going to be the beneficiary of some funds from CMI, of course, for the great majority of that. The additional cost for the engineering design survey, geotechnical, amounted to $3,450, so it wasn't too bad at all. So now we'll hopefully have one contract for the two projects. hopefully we'll have some savings on the construction end when we get that far. We did complete all of the striping on all of the roads in the industrial park, with the exception of Peru, that wasn't in too bad a shape, so we let that go for this year. And last Thursday, we completed the striping at Six Mile Canyon, and so if you had an opportunity to see the new bright double yellow down there, turned out pretty good. I have some feelers out with a couple of contractors on possibly doing some chip sealing, slurry, micro sealing in both the industrial park and some of our other paved routes throughout the county. Lyon County has embarked on a pretty substantial program over the last couple of years, so I'm hoping, and it looks like, if we decide to go that route, we'll be able to piggyback on some of the work that's already been completed as far as the bidding and that sort of thing. So look for updates there. I'm still waiting for, and I was hoping Vince might be here today, but I'm seeing Wood Rogers. We had contracted with that engineering firm to do a pavement management study and survey of the roads in the industrial park. And so I've got to call them to see where they are on that. The playground equipment in the Virginia City Park will be removed here probably within the next week. The condition is such that it creates a liability to the county, so we'll be looking maybe with some help from Sherry and Hugh and searching for some monies to hopefully replace that equipment. It's a little small piece down there that we just, it's beyond repair now, so we've got to remove it so somebody doesn't get hurt on it. And I think that's about it for today, unless you folks have any questions for me.
Mr. Chairman, I once again, I'd like to thank you so very much, Mike. You know, they say you only get one chance to make a good first impression, and you and your team out there have polished up Tahoe Reno, crack sealing and de-weeding and cleanup, and we look professional out there at TRI, and that's due to your specific efforts, and thank you so very much. We're having multiple visits weekly from Fortune 100 companies today. It's unprecedented what's happening. And for you to put us in a position to show as well as we do, wonderful.
Well,
thank you for all.
I appreciate the nice comments, but I think we all work together as a team.
Yeah, we do.
That makes it pretty important. I mean, some of the work that we did out there, we couldn't have done without some of the assistance from Gary and his folks, and you know, just making some changes here and there to our fuel management program. You know, kind of helped out so. By working together, and you know, I mean, we can do it in 5 minutes. So that's
there's
a nice thing.
Quite a payoff for our little county. Yeah. It's wonderful.
I was up there just 2 days ago, I think, and it really evident how nice it does look. I think it's great.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. From the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. As part of the annual budget augmentation process, NRS 354-598-005 allows for appropriations to be transferred between functions, funds, and contingency accounts. This process does not increase total allocations, but simply transfers unused appropriations to other functions in need of appropriations. It is a tool that the Department of Taxation has given us because there are basically four functions that we're looking at and that they look at in the budgetary process, and that is salary, benefits, operating expenses, and capital outlay. In the past, it was if the fund or a department went in a fund, if their budgeted expenses were below their actual or above their, the budgeted was above what the actual is, there was simply no problem. It was only those funds where their net bottom line, their actual expenditures were more than was budgeted. And so consequently, there had to been, at that point in time, a review point that the CP firm would put in the document, for which then we would have to explain to the Department of Taxation and to their satisfaction. They changed the rules on us a little bit. And if any of the functions within a fund or a department are over budget, then that becomes a another item that the CPE firm now makes a remark on, which we have to then write a response to the Department of Taxation. So they have given us a tool by which we can take, if we're over within one function within one fund or one account, we can then take that and accumulate that or appropriate that to any of the other functions. And so what it essentially does is it cleans up the report a little bit. We understand that, you know, with line item budgeting and priority budgeting, things are just going to get out of whack. This gives us an opportunity to correct that through, in this case, contingency, without having to go through all of the documentation that we need to provide the taxation. So with that, there was $298,497 from contingency, which we will be transferring to the following. $86,676 will go to the Information Technology Department for a brand new AS400 website and radio link. $7,773 to the Clerk Treasurer's Office for a new divider wall to make space for additional space for Justice Court. $39,573 to the Comptroller's Office for the retirement of unexpected retirement of a 20-year plus employee, and the continued training of her replacement, and the fact that the replacement had additional health care costs because she had a family and this person was an individual. $22,475 to the Sheriff's Department for higher than anticipated coroner's fees. We just didn't know about that. $14,000 to District Court for the high volume of juvenile detention. $103,220 to the Capital Projects Fund for a siphon project. $10,000 to the swimming pool for needed repairs for it to get opened. And $12,000 to for fire physicals and auto maintenance. In addition to that, the Commissioner's Department allocated $22,500 to training, gas, travel, and economic development within their fund. The Clerk Treasurer, salary, postage, rents and leases, bank fees, they'll receive $19,600 from an administrative grant match account. Administrative legal printing for Title 17 will receive $6,000 from benefits. Community development computer equipment will receive $1,500 from an administrative grant match. Justice Court will receive $2,000 for professional services from benefits. Community service phone, dues, and automobile expenses will receive $1,000 from benefits. Communications computer equipment, which is a sync timer, and phone expenses will receive $13,000 from salary expenses. Service department gas will receive $4,000 from benefits. Emergency management operating supplies will receive $4,000 from benefits. Fire district will receive $10,000 for auto maintenance from capital outlay. Equipment acquisition will receive $10,000 for auto maintenance, also from capital outlay. Water interest for the water department will receive $13,000 from benefits. Sewer interest, our sewer department's interest, will receive $200 from salaries, and sewer principal to receive $50,400 from salaries and benefits and grant match to make up for a final loan payment. And in summary, staff changes and insurance changes allowed for budgetary allocations into operational functions. So this is kind of what we're just going to clean up, and this is it. As I told the department heads today, if you're even thinking about spending anything, don't until the end of the year. So we're into the next budget function, and hopefully our report will be very clean and specific to what we do. So that is part of the augmentation process. In addition, I would just as a side, like I was at a subcommittee meeting for the Committee on Local Government Finance, and it had to do with heart-lung. They're trying to, as the legislative session is probably going to occur next year, they wanted to get some additional language in heart-lung. Now, heart-lung has been a long-standing item within state government, and it's for our firefighters and our law enforcement officers, obviously with hazardous material, inhaling and smoke and everything else that goes with it. They understood that at some point in time later in their lives, there could be possible damage to the heart and the lung that would require payments. And so consequently, after a probationary period of time, those people who are in those positions will receive heart-lung benefits for life. Now, what has happened in this particular meeting is they're trying to change the law, or they will change the statute that says it is not a benefit, it's an obligation, which now puts a little bit stronger meaning on that. Our partner, Nevada Pool, currently receives probably a little over $70,000 a year from us. But the actuarial costs that they were talking about, especially for Las Vegas, they thought it was going to be in the $2 billion range. We just, it's astronomical where this actuarial is going. So it's just just food for thought when we go into this next legislative session. Obviously, there's pros and cons to both of that stuff, but I'll keep you updated on something that's really very important.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you. Just a quick question. It would seem to me with this level of budget augmentation that it would be appropriate to put together an agenda item and submit those kinds of budget changes to the commission for approval as opposed to in-house.
If it comes out of contingency, we can discuss it as part of staff. If it comes out of the contingency, there are two that are discussion action items here, one out of CAP projects and one out of the USDA. But we can certainly do that. And that's not a problem.
Yeah, I believe it would be appropriate to, anytime we're moving that size of funds, it would be appropriate for the commission to overview.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have anything today?
Later.
Okay. We have John and Mary Lee Miller today from Community Center. Lockwood.
Please.
River District. Thanks for coming up today.
Mary Lee Miller, River District. Good morning, Pat, Marshall, Lance, Bill, Bill. I have a number of things today. I'm going to pass out something. Two items to each one, except for Pat, because I need to keep his in case I get something wrong and answer questions given his labor.
We are having a senior awareness picnic at the Perry Park in the River District.
So you have that item in front of you. We'd like to invite everybody, and we have a tent coming, 40 by 60, so no one is sitting out in the hot sun. It's between 1 and 4 in the afternoon this Saturday. We're trying to make it comfortable, and it's the senior awareness picnic that we've had twice, 2 years in a row, in Virginia City. This year we're moving it down because we have so many nice improvements in our park. Gives everybody time to come and look what it looks like now. So if you have any questions on that, the second one is a senior awareness poker run that comes the following day. And what they do is they start up here in Virginia City. The River District is the first stop. We serve water, coffee, and cookies to them for a little break. From then on, they do their poker run wherever it takes them from there. They get the instructions when they start. But we always do the first stop and send them on their way. So we wanted to make everybody aware that that was happening in our area. What has happened, as of this past Saturday, we had a community garage sale. And the community building did $450 worth of business. We had our board, the advisory board, staged a garage sale for the community center so that we could buy brand new bookshelves that are mounted to the wall in our social room on the north wall to get rid of those three bookcases that didn't match anybody on that wall. So that's our project. I've already spoke with Jason. When we start this project the first week of July, Jason and I are going together to buy the product we need to put on the wall so we all know where we stand and how we can do it. We're not just buying something and say, well, you figure out how to put it up. He's going with me so that we know exactly what we need. So that's pretty good. We had I should probably leave this for my husband. We had an overnight camp out in the park. I'll let him explain that. We had something else that started before that in the morning. I'll let him explain. That was a rattlesnake hunt. I'll let him explain that. We have our 501c3 processed to Mr. Gallagher. He is now making sure we did 100% right and pass it through. So whenever that gets done, we will have our own 501c3. We also had our incorporation papers passed to him also. So we think we've got that under control. He thought it looked real good. He's going to take it from here and figure out what we're doing. The luncheon that we're planning on July 22nd for all of the heads of state here in Virginia City, I will have the menu on the first week of July because we need the July menu, and also the invitation will be sent to Pat. I will bring it up here to him so that he can incorporate that to everyone. I do believe that's about everything we've been doing in the last month since I've talked to you the last time. I've been pretty busy. Now you can see why I'm putting off this shelving till the 1st of July, because we have to get through this picnic and everything else this weekend, and then my husband and I are leaving for Illinois on the 22nd, the evening of the Senior Awareness Motorcycle Run. We're going to be gone a week, get back in July, going to start over. So I thank you. This has been an interesting month. And we're also planning sometime in July an ice cream social. We couldn't fit it in June. But it is a senior ice cream social that we're just kind of scooting into July and figure out where we can put this. I thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Marilee. Thanks for all you do.
Let me get out of your way.
Yeah, thank you. John Miller, I take care of the Louise Perry Park under the guidance of Mike and Jason. Mike forgot that they did pull a swing set out of Perry Park that was totally unsafe. So Jason and Mike's crew came over and pulled the two swing sets out that needed to be pulled out. And they also pulled out a pole that I thought was very stupid to be in that park. It was in the gate area. And they pulled that out, and they said it was for the horses. Well, we open and close the gates every night now, so the horses can't get into the park. My lovely wife is blowing the thunder, but we're going to have the senior awareness, which is called Red, White, and You. Lance has been helping us for 2 years on that diligently. Jerry and the whole commission, correctly. We like to invite all of you up there to see the good work that Jason has done, Mike, his boss, has done. The park is now, in my opinion, the premier park in Story County. That might be, maybe not, but I figure it is. We've had very good chances. We've had a sleep out, a camp out overnight. There was over 100 people in there camping out with tents, kids. They had a great time. Before that, they had a water balloon fight for the kids. And the last day of school, they had a cookout in the park for the kids for Hillside School. So, as you can see, everything is going good. And I don't think we need the speed bumps now that I have complained about, because everybody now is staying within the speed limit up there. It's really gotten very, very good up there for that. I still want one light that I like to get, but I want to thank Mike and Jason for all their diligent help, the commissioners for all their diligent help, the sheriff's department for all their diligent help. She also mentioned the rattlesnake hunt, the search team from the sheriff's department. There was 9 of us. We went in a 2-mile radius of the school and the park, and we didn't find any rattlesnakes, but they have found rattlesnakes, 3 of them, I believe, 3 in 10 days up there by the school. So we made a diligent effort. Also, DJ and myself, along with the CIGD, took all the sagebrush off on the south side of the fence. So now you see no sagebrush going through the fences. We're cleaning that all up. It's 2 things that helped us last year. The fire department cut all the sagebrushes for us. And so now we're cleaning all the sagebrushes out of there. It's going to help without no rattlesnakes there. It's helping view from every place else. And otherwise, I want to thank the commissioners, sheriff's department, fire department, maintenance department, for all your diligent help for us to be able to get our Louise Perry Park back up in shape. Thank you.
John, I'd like to take a minute also and recognize Sherry Nevin. She's been so, so helpful in all of our community projects here in the county, and I think she's added a new dimension that is a benefit to all of us. And so I'm sure you join me in thanking her for all the efforts down there.
Oh, yeah, she's done a remarkable job for the senior center up there and everything else. I'm more concerned with my park. I enjoy it, and I enjoy seeing at 8:30 before school got out, there were 40 to 50 kids in there playing. And I want to mention the Hillside School District there. The teachers there are phenomenal. The whistle blows, the kids line up. They're all in the park while the kids are there. Trust me, they do a remarkable job, those teachers. So I want to thank them, too. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Terrific. Sheriff Fontanaro.
Just to tie in the events that the Millers discussed, that is part of the proclamation that you signed at the last meeting, recognizing seniors in Story County. So hope you'll take the time or have the ability to come down and participate with us this weekend. A couple other things this weekend, just to be aware, might be a little bit of a traffic issue here in Virginia City. There's going to be a funeral Saturday morning at the Presbyterian Church right across from the Sheriff's Office. C Street will have some parking cordoned off that lower end of town, but it should be open by about 11 o'clock, so it shouldn't interfere too much with the tourist business. Also, this coming weekend is the VCMM motorcycle event from Middlegate to Virginia City. great event. If you can't come down to the park, make sure you come out to help sponsor that. They'll be doing, we'll be doing an escort for them through town probably later in the day, usually about 5 p.m. is when that's going to happen. Just a reminder, another thing you guys did the last commission meeting was the road closure for the Highlands, annual road closure. It'll be on the 28th. We'll be available for helping with the Bill, you look confused. It was your motion. Last Saturday of June every year. we'll be out helping with the Highlands folks to make sure that goes without a hitch. And then lastly, just for information, on Thursday we will be hosting a volunteer coordinators meeting that is held regionally in northern Nevada. It moves around Reno, Carson, Lyon County. This will be our first ever hosting it, and that's all of the CERT groups and law enforcement, public safety, volunteer folks. So we're kind of honored to be hosting that for our first time. So, any questions?
Thank you, Sheriff. Notice we have a late arrival here, Mr. Engelbrecht, Mark Twain. Anything to report on the Mark Twain Community Center today, sir?
We're going through our next year's financial planning budget. We have some other issues we're working with, so we should have significantly more to report next time around.
Very good. Thank you. District Attorney Maddox?
I have nothing.
Really?
So far, nobody's used any acronyms that I didn't know.
Okay. I was going to. Yeah. Deputy DA?
Nothing this time.
Special counsel? Mr. Osberg? It was an almost. Just an almost.
What are these naked in here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I just want to let you all know and the public know and the newspaper as well, the Planning Commission meeting for this Thursday will be held at 5:30 instead of 6 o'clock. That will allow us some time between 5:30 and 6 to do some housekeeping items, and then we'll begin the big item on there, which is Comstock Mining Zone Change at about 6 o'clock. So it'll be a little bit early. We expect this meeting to really only get into the zone change. We expect a fairly large audience, and there will be a lot of things to discuss. We don't want that meeting to go into the wee hours, so it's very likely we may just have a discussion, or it could potentially be action on that meeting. We have a special meeting then held on the 26th of June, which is the immediate preceding Thursday. That meeting will begin at 6 o'clock at its normal time. At that meeting, we'll finish, if we need to, the zone change amendment, take action, and at that point, then we'll likely begin the special use permit for the expansions down at the mine, and it's possible that that mine or that meeting will have the action item for the special use permit, but it's also possible that item will spill over into the 17th of July meeting, however long it takes for us to do these matters. Because both of these meetings have special times or special dates, they've been posted in the Comstock Chronicle, a legal posting, so the public is aware of that, and that'll be in two postings, not just one, and also all that information is on the website along with the agendas and the staff reports. So
that's it. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The lane's turning and popcorn and party hats for
anything from the clerk's office, Ms. Davis?
No.
Mr. Whitten?
I'll reserve my comments on the boundary line adjustment and the amendment to the agreement between Story County Fire Protection District and Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District until the appropriate time when they're deliberated. I do want to point out, thank Vanessa, Dory, Wendy, and all the poll workers for what I thought was an exceptionally smooth election process a week ago. Again, the results came out swiftly, and the process went through, and in my observation, having seen that
literally every 2 years, twice, every 2 years for probably the last 12 or 14 years. You never think it would get better, but it seems to get better and smoother each time. And the supportive players in there, including James Dean with IT, and somebody that even sent pieces the night of the election, and I can't recall who that was, but it was certainly welcome for some hungry people. So congratulations to our clerk treasurer's office for executing a great primary. And then I want to point out something that I find really cool, and Mike brought it up today and made me think about it. As we're beginning to load up on our seasonals in some cases, or we also have what we call, Austin, correct me if I'm wrong, an intermittent part-time, less than part-time employee that basically works no more than generally about 19 hours a week at max. We use those oftentimes in our dispatch to relieve overtime pressures. We also use them periodically elsewhere. And both Dave Ballard and Mike Nevin have kind of reached back and reminded themselves of a new approach, and that's reaching out to the high school, Principal Hess in this case, and saying, Todd, you know, we're looking in Dave's case. He picked up two less than part-time dispatchers, both local young ladies. I'm proud to say one of them is from the Virginia City area, and the other one is from the Lockwood area. Great hires, I think, and they'll be great assets to our dispatch, and they're catching on very quickly. Dave reminded me that's how he got his start many, many years ago, and also I believe Chief Hames not so many years ago, as he's a lot younger than Dave. So and Mike's hired, I believe, a crew of about four to help with seasonal again coming out of school. So it's just kind of cool to be able to, you know, hire locally and see, you know, our next generation kind of come into line. So that's it.
That's great. Did I miss anybody on staff? Very good. We're going to move along to item 10, board comments. Commissioner Shevigan?
Nothing today.
Mr. Gilman?
No comments today.
No comments. Okay. So I've got a couple here. I always like to give recognition to the passing of residents. It's always a sad moment. The first one, and I think the funeral that the sheriff is alluding to, is for Millie Guffrey on Saturday. Millie was a lovely lady, lived here on the Comstock, married to Johnny Guffrey. He worked for the county. He was an operator of heavy equipment. She was a registered nurse, used to ride on the ambulance with the fire department before my day. But also, when they built a new municipal swimming pool in town, she and others helped teach kids to swim. I was one of them. I was only 6 years old. And that was in 1963, so. She would have been, I think, 99 this Friday, so just a great gal. Moving on, Bobby Wolstenholm. This was an old classmate of mine. Moved to town in his teenage years. Star basketball player, a student, graduated from school here, went to college at Northern Arizona, moved back to Reno to make his life and family there, worked for Jones West Ford. And Bobby's only about 58 years old, so anyway. Bobby was one of the good guys. Let's see if I can get through this last one. those I've said, this is our friends and family. The next passing is Nathan Oltoff. He's the stepdad for Greg and Raleigh and Bum's grandfather. Not a kinder or gentler man on the planet. Just he'd do anything for you. Never had a harsh word to say about anybody, even if he was thinking it. But anyway, these are our friends and our family, and we're going to miss them. And with that being said, we're going to recess for about 10 minutes. Okay. Thank you.